have your Bible, tonight I want to read some verses from the book of Revelation and chapter 14. The book of Revelation and chapter 14. And we'll take up the reading at verse number 14. That's Revelation 14, verse 14. And John writes, "And I looked, and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap. For the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in the sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for the grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs." Ending there, we know God will bless the reading of his own inspired word for his name's sake. Over the past weekend, we've been looking at different aspects of harvest. Last night, we were looking at the farmer and the harvest. That's given to us in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. This morning we were looking at the harvest and the family. And tonight I want to look at the harvest of the earth. That which will happen at the end of this present day of grace in which we are living. The New Testament speaks very clearly about the state of the church at the end of the age. If you open the Word of God, you'll discover that we are taught in the New Testament that at the end of the age, with regards to the church, there will be a departure from the faith. It tells us that there will be a denial of the power, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. It tells us there will be a denial of the person of Christ. You know, some of us are not aware of some of these so-called theologians who are putting ideas in the world about Jesus Christ. Ideas like, he was not the Son of God. He did not rise from the dead. He was divorced. He married Mary. Unbelievable what they're doing out with the Word of God in these days. But yet the Scripture predicted it. Not only were to be a departure from the faith, and that the denial of the power and the denial of the person, but there will be a denial of the promise. Where is the promise of his coming? It also speaks about the Laodicean age, where there would be a deadness among the saints. And we can see so much of these scriptures being fulfilled before our very eyes in these days in which we're living. But tonight, I want to move beyond the church. And I want to speak about the harvest of the earth. When we think of these words in Revelation 14, we have what I might simply call the principle of harvest. And the principle of harvest is this: you cannot reap unless you sow. As Paul reminded the Galatian believers, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Here is a principle that's very clear. What you sow, you will eventually reap. If you apply this principle to the preceding chapters of the book of Revelation, you will see something about the wickedness that man has been sowing in the world. It's impossible to take this all in tonight, but what you'll discover is this: you'll discover a world where man has been living in total rebellion to God. Actually, his lifestyle has been described in the 9th chapter of Revelation as hell upon earth. Such will be the darkness and the pain and the suffering that men will want to die, and they will not be able to die. It's a time when Satan will be cast out of the heavens and on to the earth. Tonight he is the prince of the power of the world, but the day is coming when he will be cast onto the earth. And this world of ours will know a wickedness and an evil and a corruption like it has never known before, when the sickle of God comes in to the world. The whole world will worship Satan via the Antichrist. The Antichrist who will set himself up in the temple as God. It's an amazing thing tonight that the plans for the temple are already drawn. You can visit the Holy Land tonight. You can visit in the Jewish section of the old city of Jerusalem. You can visit the Temple Institute. And if you go into the Temple Institute, they're making all that will be required for the temple. I took our party in, and when they'd finished, I asked, what, it was a girl who was giving us a talk on what was happening. And I said to her, but if the dome on the rock is a site of the temple, how will you get that dome removed for the building of the temple? She says to me, don't you worry, God will remove it. God will remove it. And we have an age when the Antichrist, who will come from the West. Isn't it interesting, if you were watching the news this week, and I don't want to digress too much tonight, but actually, one of the statements that was made in response to some of the things that are going over the Brexit talks was this: we in the West, or in the United States of Europe, we will have a president. They're even planning for the president. And all these things that the scripture has predicted are there for to be seen in the age in which we are living. Joel in his prophecy, he says in the 3rd chapter, put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come down, for the press is full. The vats overflow with wickedness. You see, we're living in a society that has become secular. I encourage you to come over these next two Sunday nights and hear what the scriptures say about the secular society and the sin that's being practiced in the secular society. They are seeds of spiritual wickedness. You see, the thinking of the world today is this: if we can dispense with God, we can live just whatever way we want to live, because we will be accountable to nobody. And that's the thinking of the world tonight. What a world we're living in. When God puts a sickle in judgment, because the world has been sowing seeds of evil, seeds of corruption, seeds of wickedness, and God has had enough, and he's going to put the sickle of judgment in to this old earth of ours. Our world is worshiping at the shrine of secular humanism. We have blotted God out so that we can do what we want, say what we want, and live as we want. Now here's the principle that they're teaching in the book of Revelation. What our world has been sowing, it's about to reap. What our world has been sowing, it is about to reap. So you've got the principle of harvest. You've also got the picture of judgment. You see, there's a picture in here which is, in one sense, it's a beautiful picture to portray the judgment that will fall on the earth. The analogy that's given here is of grapes and of the wine press. And he calls it the wine press of the wrath of God. The winepress of the wrath of God. If you want to understand some of the analogy that's used, then if you get the opportunity, if you're ever in the land of Israel, you can go where they have constructed in Nazareth things as they were in biblical times. And it's interesting to discover something about the wine press. Because what they did was this. They cut out like a square rock. And then lower down the hill, they have a smaller one. And between the top one and the bottom one, they have a little channel. And what they do is this. They bring all the grapes from the vine and they put them in the top basin, if I can use that word. And then what they do is they had something above they could hold on to and they begin to stamp on the grapes. And they begin to crush the grapes. And the juice from the grapes, it runs down the little channel and is caught in the bottom basin. Now, if you were a wine drinker, just think before you drink the next bottle, some boy getting into that wine press with dirty feet gives a wee flavour to the wine. That's what it was in biblical times. And you see, the analogy that's being used is an interesting one. Because the Lord is talking about crushing the grapes of the wicked world in the winepress of his wrath. That's the world we're in tonight. And when he crushes in the day of his wrath, he tells us it's going to cause the blood to flow to the height of a horse's bridle for 1,600 furlongs. When you go back into the book of Isaiah and chapter 63, there's an interesting few verses in Isaiah 63. And here's what it says. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. He then goes on to say, the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and I will tread down the people in mine anger, and I will make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. One of the Old Testament prophets, the prophet Zechariah, tremendous prophecy is the prophecy of Zechariah. In the very last chapter of the book of Zechariah, you'll find a prophecy that has never been fulfilled. Never. That day when the Lord will stand on the Mount of Olives, when the Mount of Olives will split in two. But behind what's happening is this. Satan has been defeated at the cross. But he's going to have one more go. And he's going to gather the armies of the world at Armageddon. And what a spot is Armageddon. And he's going to gather the armies of the world at Armageddon for one last battle, a battle against Jerusalem. I'm going to come from the north up there, Russia. From the south, Egypt. Out to the east, you have the mighty nations of China and India. From the west, you've got the United States of Europe, and they're all going to be there, and what a harvest is going to be reaped when the Lord treads the winepress of his wrath and reaps what the world has sown on that day. I tell you tonight, if you would just think for a moment or two. Look around the world tonight. Now, when you listen to the language that's being passed between the President of the United States and, as he calls him, Rocket Man in North Korea, and his latest statement is, they'll not be around for long. When you listen to the words of Peter, that the elements will melt with fervent heat, I'll tell you tonight, our world is sitting on a time bomb. Sitting on a time bomb. And God is going to put in the sickle. And he's going to reap. He's going to reap. It's called the day of God's wrath. And God will shake the world from pole to pole in such a fashion that it's described in the book of Isaiah as the world will go to and fro like a drunken man. It's a sickle bringing before us the picture of judgment. But there's one other thing I want to say, and it's what I call the patience of God. Why has God not already stepped in? Why has God not already poured out his wrath on our world? Well, the answer is given very clearly in Scripture. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus went into the synagogue at Nazareth? They gave unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And the Lord read in the synagogue from Isaiah chapter 61. Now when you go home, you compare Luke 4 with Isaiah 61. And the Lord begins, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free." And then he goes on down and he says, "To preach the acceptable year of the Lord." You know what he does? He closes the book at that part. That part. Closes the book. And when he closed the book, I'll tell you what, he never finished a sentence. It was never finished. The Lord closed the book without finishing the sentence. Why did he close the book when it says, "Preaching the acceptable year of the Lord," and then he closed the book? If he had not have closed the book, here's what he would have read, you would have read, "On the day of vengeance of our God." Why did he close the book? Because the day of vengeance has not come yet. This is the day of the Lord's grace. This is the day of opportunity. This is the day when men and women can prepare to meet their God. What a day it's going to be. I tell you tonight, God has not appointed his church to the day of wrath. The church will not go through the day of God's wrath. Hallelujah. The church is the bride of Christ. It's the bride of Christ. Remember an old boy, he was quite a character, but he made some tremendous statements. And he said, "If you tell me that the church is going through the wrath of God, you're saying that he's going to take the bride." He says, "Let me illustrate like this. What man is about to marry a woman? And before he marries her, he gives her a good hiding?" Maybe some of them deserve it, but do you think the Lord's going to put his bride through his wrath? No, he's going to take the bride home. Hallelujah. He's going to take us home. Thank God tonight, when I look around this world and I look across this world tonight, I'm not thinking of the wrath of God, I'm thinking of the coming of the Lord Jesus. You see, here's what the book teaches me. The book teaches me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that he's coming to the heir for his sins. You know what it also teaches me? In Zechariah 14, he's coming to the earth with the sins. Now, he can't come to the earth with them unless he comes first for them. On one of these nights, hallelujah, he's coming. He's coming. And there's going to be a shout. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, before you can blink, the church of Jesus Christ is gone. Gone. We're right at the spot. We're right at the spot. Could happen any time. Nothing else to be fulfilled. It could happen tonight. You could be sitting in this meeting, and all of a sudden, your partner's gone. Your children are gone. Your parents are gone. Why?
Because the Lord has taken his own out before he deals in judgment with the world. God is patient tonight. Why has he not moved yet? God is not willing that any should perish. God does not want you to go in for this harvest of the earth. God wants you to come for his salvation tonight. God wants you to prepare for that moment tonight when he will come again. He's coming as a thief. And the scripture said, be ye also ready. When you go through the book of Romans, what an education it is when you go through the book of Romans. Because in Romans chapter 3:23 it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. Romans 5 tells us, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10 tells us, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, we will be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, the saints will rise, the Antichrist will be revealed to the world, judgment will come upon the world. But for you, it will be too late. Too late. Happens in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. You know, sitting in the Royal Victoria Hospital one Friday morning, sitting in the casualty department, I was no stranger in the casualty department, having my both arms broken twice each, a suspected broken neck, the other things. I was no stranger. So down one morning in the casualty department, lit the cigarette, and then the Spirit of God, I didn't understand it was the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of God began to strike in my heart. Jackie, if Jesus Christ comes this morning, your mother, your father, your sisters will rise to meet the Lord in the air, but you will be left behind. You know, I began to shake and tremble. It wasn't me. I thought, if I can get out of this place, I get back to work where I was working. If I could only get back into work and sit down, settle down again, this whole thing will leave me. I went into work, got the papers out, picked the horses for the racing in the afternoon, got all sorted out. But the voice still was there. Jesus is coming soon. If he comes today, dear mother, your father, your family will rise to meet him, but you will be left behind. Thank God that morning I came to Jesus. Weary, worn and sad, he transformed my life from the moment he entered, made me a new creation. But here's my prayer tonight. My concern tonight, if that moment happens before this service is over, will you be left sitting? Instead of being caught up, you'll be caught on and left to face the harvest of the earth and the reaping of the wrath of God. And here's God giving you another chance and another harvest to come and trust him. I don't know why people won't come to Jesus. Well, maybe I shouldn't say I don't know why, because for years I didn't want to come. I thought I was going to miss something. You'll never know until you get there the joy unspeakable and full of glory, the hope in a hopeless world that he can give you if you come by faith. God's ready to cast the sickle in. All the pieces of the jigsaw around the world, from Israel, from Europe, from the nations of the world, they're all in place before he starts in the wine press. He's taking his own out. It could be tonight. What about you? What about you? What about you tonight? Are you ready for it? If you're not ready, you can make yourself ready tonight. That's why he came the first time. He came to take your place, to die in your stead, to pay the penalty for your sin. When he rose again from the dead, he rose that he might be your Savior. And if you come in repentance tonight and acknowledge your sin before him, thank God he'll save you tonight. He'll blot out your transgressions, and he'll become your Savior. And you can be sure tonight, heaven is your home. Why not come? Why not come? Let's bow together in prayer. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, let me ask tonight, are you ready? It's going to happen so suddenly that you'll not have time to get ready. You'll leave it too late. God in grace is calling you again tonight. Why not respond? Here I am, Lord. I'm sorry for my sin. My sin took Jesus Christ to the cross. Lord, I'm sorry. I want you to forgive my sin. I want you to become my Savior and my life. Be my Lord. Thank God tonight the miracle can happen in your life. You'll have no more fear of this old sinful world, because God's going to take you out of it. Why not come? Father, we pray that the Spirit of God will do what we can do. That the Spirit of God will take the truth of the Word of God and implant it deep in the hearts of those without God tonight. Grant, Lord, in that day that families will be complete in Christ when we rise to meet the Lord in the air. Thank you, our Father, for your presence with us. May your Spirit continue to work in the Savior's precious name. Amen.